Jane.
Yes, Philip.
It's good to hear from you again. It's been some time that we have spoken. And how are you?
I am well, thank you.
Good. It's good to know that. Dr. Bauman, you have met him before, the alienist that you call, the physician. And he would like to talk with you primarily today, even though I know I have many questions, but he has some that perhaps I would not have to talk with you. And I'm sure that he enjoys listening to you and conversing with you. Would that be opposed to you? Would you mind doing that today?
I will speak with him. But first, may I speak with you for a moment?
Yes.
I wish to ask your assistance. This is a difficult time for her. I will say more of that later. As her friend, you listen to her. I wish you to listen carefully to what she says. And most particularly to what she does not say to you, as she will protect you now.
She will protect me?
Yes, and may not say what is on her mind in all times. So,
can you give me words of wisdom in which I can encourage her to speak what's deeper in her soul and mind?
I believe you know what to say. I wanted you to be aware of that.
I will be aware of that, yes.
Doctor, you seem troubled. There is some distress within you, I believe.
Yes, not so much only for myself, but for Anne. The distress I have is my logical mind trying to understand something that's not wholly understandable, and that's my own problem of perplexing. My interest at this time is about some experiences Anne has had, to where she has visually observed someone on a horse, possibly you or possibly another. At one time, this person on a horse looked deep within her. She wanted a description of yourself as to know whether this was you, whether it was someone other than you, or whether it was something from within her mind that was causing this.
I know of what you speak. She is at the moment under attack. And that is a good word. Attack. There is one who would use her as I do, but would not treat her so gently. You would desire to speak. I have prevented this in the past with the help of my counselors. And today they are instructing her as we speak. She is receiving instruction from my counselors. However, she will not recall most of what is said, but it will remain with her nevertheless, because she must. You were correct in telling her, not you, Doctor, but the other, in telling her not to be afraid, because this is what they are attempting to do. Her fear can be used. Her fear can be used. It is difficult to explain. Fear in this instance, if it is great enough, can be used to create the condition that they desire, whereby he may enter her.
He being, in other words, in listening to what you're saying, we've established another third party. In other words, there is
one I may give you his name. His name is, we know him as Kuwar. That will be meaningless to you, I suspect.
Kuwar?
Kuwar, yes.
Is he a person that has lived like you, or another group of counselors that harass?
He is part of a group, but primarily it is he that wishes to speak, and he has very much power.
But it's not a person like yourself who lived and died suddenly.
No.
It's an agent.
But he knows of our conversation, and what he has done is to use my image.
I want to thank you, because it's such a pleasurable thing when somebody recognizes my being perplexed. You know, that was a thoughtful thing on your part. Doctor, you're perplexed today. And you know, when you're so busy looking to other people's perplexed problems, which is just such a thoughtful statement. First of all, it surprised me that it was recognized, and secondly, it was thoughtful of you to recognize it.
Thank you.
Do you perceive that? Did you perceive that through Anne's eyes? I didn't seem perplexed when I was in here today, other than I don't think I look harassed. I was going to pick up my new glasses. Mm-hmm. Did you perceive that yourself, or was that something Anne had picked up?
I do not believe she would have.
I've been more perplexed lately because it's coming to the point where many things have happened to us now. We're kind of standing back a minute, trying, at least I am, trying to digest all of these different things that have happened. And it's new to us after 5 years. It's still new.
It's what do you speak of it? Is it the entire
phenomenon of people who have died coming to us to tell us about their situations, and then the other group of peoples that we're told about, and this great struggle that continues to go on, apparently, even after death, in other words.
I wish to caution both of you. I do believe that you may help from your point of view, you may help her. After a time, if there is no success, the effort will be abandoned by this one of whom I spoke.
I see.
But she needs a great deal of assistance to be strong and not afraid. This is a terribly fearful thing for her, and we will provide whatever assistance we can today.
What would you?
But it will need to be reinforced. And what you did for her, not. May I speak to the other gentleman?
Yes, always, anyone.
What you did. I do not know your terms, so that she would not so easily be in this state of mind.
Mm-hmm.
I understand.
Yes, I do. Yes.
That was effective. It should be repeated.
Okay.
Is her talking about school starting, her becoming very busy, is that a reflection of a deeper fear, or is that just a practical thing that's coming up?
It is some of both. She is, I would say at this time, it is not fear that she feels from me. However, there has always been some discomfort. There is no trust. She fights it. That is all right. It is all right. If at any time it becomes necessary for me to speak to you, whether to assist her or for another reason, I will let her know.
Yes.
But this that she experiences in the last days is not from us. However, it is a real threat. I cannot emphasize that enough.
Jane, other than the method I have used with Anne, what other recommendations would you give me to help her to be able to have less fear?
Yes. Teach her how to pray.
Yes, I've been attempting to do that. Yeah.
Well, she feels alone still. That is better, but teach her how to pray.
I will.
You will notice a change after today, I believe.
Jane, you were saying, use the word us now. When you first came, you were given permission to talk with us because you had not talked to a true person about your death. It seems that your counselors now, that you've taken a more mature position, that with us, it seems that they have included you in a union of souls, so to speak, to give some assistance. Your counselors now, or maybe you are even a counselor now, in the sense of helping us understand what this is about.
No, I am not as my counselors. They have much knowledge and wisdom
but when you
and
say
abilities that I do not have.
But on the other hand, you say us as opposed to the others who would distract, as if there were a...
There are many who would do that. These are mentioned because they are the ones who are causing the problem at the moment. You see, what I have said these Kuwar and those who would work with him have a very different point of view they would like to express. And sometimes do Kuwar and others like him, there are many. I do not believe that this should be allowed to happen with her. I believe it would be very bad.
Well, what is their level and what is their true fear that they can cause? Would it be primarily the induction of fear within her, or is there real danger that they can?
The danger is that are you not aware that once I am here, that you may not cause me to leave? You may not. And she may not. I must leave by my own choice. I think you are aware of that.
Well, and I believe that the things that occur in the world are permitted by God. And
permitted. Yes. Kuwar, if you were to enter and speak, that might also be permitted by God. However, I do not know. God might also permit him to stay if he chose. You do not understand the power there.
Well, I don't fear the power. Now, maybe that's... And I don't mean that in arrogance, please. I'm talking to God. So I don't mean in arrogance. But my trust is in one source, and that is the Creator. If there's things greater than the Creator,
yes,
then I have the wrong Creator. And the Creator that I trust in is such that I would trust that he would take care of little Jimmy Bauman or Dr. Bauman or whatever if what I'm trying to do is meaningful and growthful for him.
Yeah. You have a greater degree of trust than does she.
I've not learned to fear. I don't mean that I don't have fears. I truly have fears. But I don't have fear that in truth, I fear minor things. I fear accidents or tragedies or minor things. I don't fear my relationship soul to soul with God. And
it would not be a relationship that would be affected. And in time, if he were to enter, he would probably leave. It could be very, very difficult for her. Now, also understand that my efforts and your efforts, if God chooses for this to happen to her, will be to no avail. I do not...
Go through that once again. If she chooses...
No, she would not choose. If God would choose for this to happen for her learning, perhaps, then your efforts and our efforts would be to no avail. Now, I may not know
if he
what
was
is in the Creator's...
Yes, and I understand that. That would would probably concern...
It's all in the Father's hands. You know, it's in his hands.
That is true. However, from our point of view, we would try to prevent it. This is our...
That's our task.
That is true. It is yours, perhaps. It is mine, definitely. And I must too. However, I am not always successful, nor are my counselors.
Well, listen, while I say that I'm not afraid, let it be sufficient that you telling us that this could happen, rather than us having to learn by practical experience, because it's probably already happened to many other people in the world.
That is true.
And I don't know that we have to have it. I don't know that I have to talk to an enemy or see an enemy or learn how he shoots to know that it may have. We've debated this before as to whether someone who was interested in talking through should talk through. We've always stopped at that point, although we've come under great criticism for not letting everybody speak. We're living in a world today, supposedly, where there's freedom of expression to all minority groups.
I know her choice in this matter, and that is what I must abide by.
And that's what I want to, and I think she made a good choice. That's what I want to abide by. But you telling us that this is not just you that she saw, nor was it a hallucination or illusion that she had. It was put there by an outside.
It was put there for her and to frighten her.
What was the piercing look, the piercing penetrating into the soul look she described?
She, I believe, at that time was seeing them truly. You see, what they have done is to take my appearance.
In illusion, in...
Yes, as they think she would expect me to look.
To look.
Right. And I believe she was convinced that was me she saw. However, the one experience when she felt they were looking, I say they, but she felt looked into, is that what she said?
Mm-hmm.
I believe she was seeing truly.
Penetrated beyond any mask.
She was feeling the power that is there, and it is very great.
Short description. She had asked for a description of how you saw yourself. What you would look like had she...
She has seen when during a conversation she has seen me that is not what you wanted to know.
Yes, that's fine. Well, except that she has, we haven't. And
you wanted a...
Well, you had wanted to see us one time. You wanted to see us.
I understand, and you have not seen me. I will describe as I appeared. What she has seen is how I appeared. My physical body.
Could you project those images into us just as the other team projected their image into her?
I could not. My counselors could if they chose.
So this other group that was doing that, was it the level of your counselors? It was a higher level than...
Higher level than I, mm-hmm. Yes. That you may say that.
It was part of the ones they struggle against, their level of struggle.
At times, yes, this is not the only. There are many, such as he. We have dealt with Kuar before. I have seen him do his works, and I know how much force there is.
Jane, you have comprehensions of worlds that we can't even begin to comprehend, and you can understand that because when you were on Earth, you couldn't have comprehended all of this either. How vast is this existence?
Greater than you can imagine, I believe. It is truly beyond men's ability to comprehend.
And the two things are a mystery to us. There's two types of mysteries. One mystery of what is there, and secondly, what are we doing with it or about it or for it? In other words, what is our task? And why is this happening? These questions are very redundant, I know, because we've been told and told, but as soon as we step back and get away from it, we begin to doubt once again that this was all real. There seems to be a...
There is a very fine line between illusion and reality. That is what you mean.
Yes, and yet, from your world, when you wish an illusion to speak with your father or your mother, your illusions immediately become real. I think that that's what's happening. If you wish to be somewhere, if you now would wish to be under a lovely tree, you could instantaneously be there.
Yes.
Is this after death the promise God had that we have freedom and He extends His creation to us, that if we wish it, it then becomes once we've proven our...
After we die, there is often a period of time when we must make an adjustment. Many must go through this. Some are prepared at the time of death to they do not need that, but after the adjustment period, which may vary, we are provided with whatever we need. If we need to sit under a tree, then we have that tree to sit under.
At mere thought.
Yes.
That philosophy is now being misused on our plane by people saying you are God because what you think you therefore create, and you are the creator. And it seems to me is what happens is that upon our death, with the creator's permission and with reasonable confidence on our part, we get what we wish for in the next dimension, not in this one, and only because the creator has permitted it.
Well, it may not be done. That may not be done on earth.
Well, they're choosing to teach that today, that what we so think so becomes. And of course, in part a reality that's partly true. If I want to become a physician, I plan for it and work at it, and therefore what I think has become. On the other hand, it's a misuse of it because it's like it's our own desire. Then it can be just out of our own desire, which is...
It is not desire I speak of, but need. The Creator will provide us with what we need, not everything we desire.
But now at your plane, you have either proven your self-sufficient goodness. The other dilemma, Jane, all of us get tired in this world once in a while, and we look to death once in a while as, oh boy, if I was good, I'd get it relaxed and back home. Now you're telling us, and this has put a little bit of depression into me, gosh, when I go on to the next one, I'm going to be doing the same thing, same old work, same old battles, different faces. Can you help me with
it
that?
It is not exactly like that. Because you have many things you need not worry about as you do on earth. You must be concerned with your food and your shelter and paying your debts and all of that, which will not concern you after death. You are concerned solely with your learning, and all else is provided for you. You do not have the physical needs, but all other needs are provided for you so that you do not have to concern yourself with them, and you may be solely concerned with your learning and your growth.
And your spiritual development.
Yes.
Is there less
It is not a sad thing. Please do not think it is.
You're just talking to a tired man who's had a long battle on this world, trying to raise five kids and war still going on. I know this partly came, at least to me, and I can speak for me myself, as something interesting and some kind of wisdom and some kind of insight. I know now my job in the next dimension, to be able to go right on to this next assistance phase, I suppose. That doesn't fatigue me, because it truly is the worry about food and clothing and finances and children being maimed in the service that troubles me, and it would be a great relief, and I'll have an instant burst of strength.
Yes, all the physical distress, if you will think of that, that is a good part of what causes your depression, as you said, and the battle as such, it is not the same. If you would be placed in a position such as I, to aid and assist another who is living,
and now aiding and assisting us. No, it's very important that you take that kind of gratification in what you're doing. You're aiding and assisting her, but you've been, because of who you are, ask and are doing, assisting others here.
The reason for the conversations was so that you may take whatever it is you may use to use in your work, and to, if it does strengthen you, that is the sole reason. However, it must be done without too much distress to her, and if she is not comfortable, then it must be discontinued.
One should never break their tools.
That is very good. And she is a charge as well as an instrument. You asked a moment ago if I would describe my appearance, my physical appearance.
Yes, and also whether you had the strength through your counselors to let us visualize that within our own minds.
I do not know if they would present that to you.
Okay, so if that happened, if that would be up to their level of power.
That is not my decision, nor could I accomplish that. Truly, without their assistance, I will describe to you in any case in words, or whatever they are worth to you. I was fairly tall, standing about 64 and one half inches, and generally about 125 to 130 pounds. Most of my life, I believe I was somewhat less than that at the time I died, as the kind of work I had been doing was very demanding. My hair was brown and in the style of our day, with very long, with some gray beginning. My eyes were blue. My complexion pale.
Had you any scars from previous injuries?
Scars, no. I had the affliction with my leg, the lameness. And that leg was somewhat shorter than the other. I had been told that there was some problem. The problem with the leg was in the hip area, but my limbs were not of this, of equal length. That was what caused the limp. But I do not know what, so that a doctor would understand, I do not know.
Did it trouble your riding?
Not riding, no. Walking only. And at times I had tried shoes with the heel was sometimes that helped, but they seemed not comfortable. I was not troubled that much.
Jane, is the plane that you lived in, the place and the plane on this earth, where if we trace back Otto Marsupial and Anna Anna was your mother?
Emma.
Emma. Was the plane of your existence on this earth that those would be recorded, their birth or their death, or your birth or your death?
My papa was a foundling. I do not know if his birth was recorded nor where. He was a foundling in the city and state of New York. And at the age of 2 was left with a minister and his wife. And Papa, all of his life, carried a note with him, the note that was bound with him. And this is all we know of his background. The name Marsupial may not have been the exact name. It is what the wording looked like.
He died in 1904 in Hebron. It should be recorded his death.
He did not die in Hebron. And he died at the end of 1903. My parents, why did you think Hebron? That was where they lived. Is that what?
Well, I know you went back to
near
Hebron.
Near there.
Yeah, you went back to Hebron and said that's where they had lived.
Well, they did not live in the town, but that was near.
Well, near Roses Road.
Roses Road.
But,
yes. You have a good memory.
Well, Jane, you right, I do, but I also care about your soul, and when you tell me those things, you become.
I went to their home, which was there. I went to my parents' home, but that is not where they died. They were in Chicago at Christmas. I did not know this because I had not heard from my mother. Communication with her was difficult and it was secretive because of Papa. And they occasionally went to Chicago. That is the area where Mama lived before, and they went there to visit, and I found out from a neighbor who wrote to me, went into Mama's house and found my address and wrote to me that my parents had never come home when they were expected. And as near as we could tell, they went to the theater. My mama loved the theater while they were in Chicago, and there was a fire, disastrous fire. Many, many people were killed. I did not learn of this possibility until sometime after the event. It occurred shortly after Christmas, a few days after Christmas.
You believe they were both killed?
Well, when I wrote to the authorities there, and I did stop in Chicago on my way to Ohio, there were many bodies. There was a woman who generally answered Mama's description, being a very short woman. Mama and Papa were both, I was taller than my Papa. Mama and Papa were very small people, and Mama was a very short woman, small woman. A body of a woman who answered her description was unclaimed. And I do not know what happened to Papa. There was no body of a gentleman unclaimed of his age. But they told me that some, because of the extent of the fire consuming so much, that they had already had many mistaken identities among the dead. And it was possible that he had been consumed, as I found later when I spoke with Papa. That is what he said.
It may have been difficult to document their death or their death.
Well, the unidentified dead were buried at Graceland Cemetery in Chicago. And they were already gone, and it had been, by the time I could come, I went through the belongings that were unclaimed to try to identify something of Mama's. But you see, their belongings were left in their room at the boarding house they had taken, and they never came for them.
Oh, you did find that? You did find,
yes,
that there was a boarding house and their belongings were there?
Yes.